or at least this month, is Dr. Terry Alban, who is the superintendent of Frederick County Public Schools. And our chance to quiz her, to drill her, to she really prepares. She has books and books and stats and figures and everything. And I'm not going to ask her anything about that stuff she's prepared for. But again, Dr. Alban, thank you for being here. Thank you. We appreciate it. And people, believe it or not, you have fans out there. I know it's hard to believe, but you do. And they like when you come on. So, and then they have the detractors who say, well, ask her this question. Well, this opportunity be afforded them if they wish to call in or text in. But I'll always ask the questions. And I always start off with you and the county exec in the same way. The state of our schools today are?
We are in very good shape.
Amen.
We are coming up on one of my favorite times of the year when we, you know, celebrate the accomplishments of all of our students. Lots of award ceremonies coming up and happening. And before you know it, graduation will be here.
Cool beans. And, I every graduation, every year at this time, you as my Frank, he almost graduated. We think back to our time in high school and it's come, you know, it's for me, unlike you all, it's over 50 years. I think, man, where did the time go? But anyhow, enough nostalgia. Let's get to real things. I'm going to hit you right away with the question that's got to be on the minds of a lot of people, and that's the walkout plan for Friday. Organized walkout or protest, I don't know. I don't want to diss it by saying it's something other than it's not, but it's a walkout. And I noticed the Carroll County school system has said that if you walk out and if, you know, you want to say to the kids, or say, you know, the kids, you say, you know, we're supporting you, but there is a time and a place for everything. This has to be a headache for you. And not that you need a headache, but it has to kind of pull you both ways.
Well, we actually have had much less of a response from our students around this one than we had on March 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think March 14th, a lot of it was wanting to mourn those victims. Things were much more fresh on their minds. And again, we don't condone it. We ask our administrators to be prepared. We want to keep students safe. Our students were very respectful. Many of them took advantage of alternative activities as a way to, you know, have their voice heard. So quite honestly, we have not been hearing much about interest in participating on the 20th. We have the same protocol in place, and our administrators will, you know, be prepared to address what they need to address with their own individual student body.
We haven't had a chance to chat with you since before the March 14th walkout. Now, looking at it in hindsight, is there anything that you think could have been done differently or handled differently?
I was actually incredibly proud of our students and our administrators. I was particularly pleased that we had so many students who took me up on the 17 Acts of Kindness challenge as a way to remember the victims of the Parkland shooting. And so there were some amazing tweets coming from our schools about things that they were doing to show compassion and kindness and consideration for other people. And I think that's a message we can't have too much of these days.
Oh, I certainly can't argue with that. I would certainly agree to that. I know from Carroll County, I thought it was more of a dictate from the superintendent that saying more of a threat, I guess I can say it that way, that, you know, God bless you, we love you, but don't do it. And if you do, there'll be disciplinary action taken. Are those in the public school system that will take disciplinary action against students? Or, again, you said you left it up to the administrators.
Well, one of the things, again, we sent a clear message to our students that we don't condone it. We also, on the 14th, they had talked about, you know, 17 minutes. Our students were very respectful. They went back to class. There wasn't anyone who did not follow the direction given by an adult. And so we didn't have to resort to discipline. We didn't have students taking advantage of the opportunity. So, again, we have had very little interest in this one that we've seen.
This is Columbine, right, Frank?
The anniversary of Columbine.
And again, we've only had a few schools where students have said they're interested. And so, you know, we're not condoning it. We have plans in place to keep them safe. We are expecting them, if they are asked to come into the school, to be respectful and to do that. And that would be the only reason we would take disciplinary action, is if they refuse to, you know, follow the directions of a teacher or administrator. you know, or if they were outside
doing something they shouldn't.
Doing something.
The superintendent
foolish.
Of Carroll County Schools has gotten a lot of attention because, in his words, it is my strong feeling that since March 14th, student plan protests have become very political and have expanded to include other issues above and beyond school violence. My assessment of these protests is that they will be detrimental to the learning environment. So they are talking about, he says, therefore, my direction to school leaders and expectations of students will be a normal school day. And a student walkout is not acceptable. We'll be addressed in accordance with our code of conduct. But I guess his mention of feeling that this has become more of a political issue has gotten a lot of
the
notice.
Yeah, and that's why I said his words are a lot stronger. I worry in this respect. Columbine happened when these children weren't even, most of them weren't even born. And I just had to do that math. But be that as it may, what would stop protesting if we looked for everything that has happened that we could protest, which, if that makes any sense. I mean, in other words, I think it loses its flavor, if you will, by doing too... Does that sound fair to do too many...
By having another walkout.
By having another walkout. I think it diminishes what has happened for the Parkland school.
And again, I think that's why we're seeing less interest among our students.
People don't even know what Columbine might be.
I really felt that on the 14th, my sense of what most of our students were talking about was being afraid and being sad about the deaths. And again, that's why trying to focus on the 17 victims, wanting to honor them, talking about the importance of kindness. You know, those are the messages that I felt were very important. Now, we can also help our children understand, you know, and we kind of talked about this, maybe this was with Bob Miller the other morning.
I know him.
You know, political, you have to teach children who live in a democracy how to use your voice. And so our social studies teachers will talk about ways to contact, you know, your elected officials and things like that. And so, you know, not telling children what the message should be, but how do you exercise your right as a citizen to have your voice heard? And so that would be a part of conversations that would occur around that.
Well, we can, Dr. Terry, we're back with you. So we're not planning, and we do not want to have any panic or stress about this. This is just, it'll, like a good meal, will pass, and we'll go into the rest of this session. We are in our last semester, correct?
Yes, we are.
Right? At what point?
What if it snows again?
Yeah, what if it snows again? It's your fault.
All the days are used up, right?
She's dressed like a...
I'm trying to bring spring. I'm trying to bring spring. We have used all five of our snow days.
Yeah.
And so we don't want any more days closed. If we were to have another snow day where we had to close schools, then the board would have to make a decision. They would have to find out about waiving a day or... This recent legislation that passed said we could add 5 days at the end of the year, but there's a little bit of confusion in the interpretation of that. Because before we can ask to have any kind of days waived, we have to have adjusted our calendar. So we would have had to ask people to come in and work on a day they were supposed to be off. And since we didn't have to do that because we had enough snow days, I'm not really sure exactly what would happen. So I think the easiest answer is no more snow.
No more snow, yeah.
No more snow.
The superintendent of Prattville County Schools has deemed there'll be no more snow, at least during this school session. Well,
and the another thing, I think...
You get blamed for it when it snows. You might as well blame or get credit when it doesn't.
This is going back a few weeks, but I think it's since we had a chance to talk to you last, was that one day that I've heard more complaints than I've heard in a long time.
Absolutely. Me too.
About, I'm sure you did, about schools not closing when we had, was it the winds or the...
It was snow.
Was it snow? Okay.
It was snow.
Yeah. In retrospect, what happened? And I know what your answer is going to be, but I heard some say that purposely schools started with an idea that it would close early to try to get out of using up another snow day.
We we can make our decisions are based on the information we have at the time. And so that was a Tuesday.
Yep.
Monday night, we had the, you know, word coming from the National Weather Service. We get constant updates from Jack Markey. He's wonderful. My team is in contact with the county team. So Monday night, we were supposed to get 1 to 2 inches during the day, and it was really supposed to hit at 4 o'clock. Woke up in the morning, got my 4:30 a.m. phone call. Forecast hadn't changed. Nothing was coming down.
Right.
We said, okay.
Schools are open.
Bring them in. 7 o'clock, same forecast. Nothing had changed.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, I'm bringing the team in, and I'm saying, okay, if it's supposed to hit around 4 and it's already starting to snow, you know, what are we going to do?
And by 9 o'clock, high schoolers have been in for an hour and a half.
By 9 o'clock, high schoolers have been in. Elementary kids are on the way. And I guess one of the things that maybe people don't really understand is we can't turn a dismissal around on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to close 2 hours early, people need to know that by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, because we have a lot of bus traffic that we have to deal with. We have to make sure they're fed before they leave. And so we were having those conversations, and at that time they were starting to say, well, it's probably going to be a little more accumulation, but there's a lull coming. And so we thought, okay, if we do a 2-hour early dismissal, we're getting them out before the worst of the storm hits at 2 o'clock. It was a nor'easter. It can track 15 miles east or west and completely change your forecast. By 11 a.m., we were looking at 4 to 6 inches of accumulation. By 4 p.m., not the optimal thing. But again, once we have them all in there, we don't, you know, we can't just immediately
turn them around.
And so I cannot thank the county road crews for all the work they did. We had, you know, most of the roads were in really good shape by the time our children were heading home, and all of our students got home safely. So I can tell you that I sit there on pins and needles, and I'm waiting, you know, to hear that every bus has gotten there closely. But at that time, we have to make the decisions with the information we have. And at 5 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m., we were not anticipating that it was going to get like it did. And plus, the roads were so warm that I think even though a lot was coming down,
It wasn't going to
Some road surfaces weren't being phased at all. Others, it was a little more tricky. So
very good. Well, when I'm superintendent, you know, in about 10 years, I'm going to be superintendent. I would appoint a committee, which you already have. And I would not be involved in the situation at all. So, but you are involved in that situation.
Well, and it's interesting, Tim, that you say that, because there have been some superintendents who don't make the call.
Mm-hmm.
They leave it up to their transportation director. For many years, Hal Keller, a well-known Frederick County person, was making the call. I always felt like if people are going to be upset, I need to own that. And so I want to make the call. We've tried to be very clear about the process we use. There are a lot of people involved in making that decision, and none of us want children be safe.
Exactly.
So we are going to make the decision we feel is in the interest of safety. As I said, sometimes a storm tracks a little differently and things change. So that's what happened that Tuesday.
I want to ask you one more thing, Dr. Alban, about something that happened several weeks ago before we turn our attention to the present day and what's coming up. And that was another controversy where the U.S. Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, had herself planned to come visit Frederick County Public School, but then wound up canceling out. There were people upset on
protests or were planned.
Yeah, what happened there?
So Frederick Classical Charter School was contacted by a group called Reading is Fundamental. It's a nonprofit group. And they wanted to come into the school, and they were going to give every child a book. They were going to donate books for the library, and they wanted to bring a guest reader who happened to be the Secretary of Education. And so I didn't know anything about it until I got an email from the instructional director who works with Frederick Classical, saying that the principal had agreed to this visit and that we would get confirmation. So this was like a Thursday night. We would get confirmation on Friday whether or not Secretary DeVos could attend. And so I said, well, please let me know, because if she's coming, I want to let the board know, because I'm sure they'll want to be at the school whenever you have, you know, a high-level official come.
Sure.
You want your board to know and to be invited. So I found out on Friday night that there had been confirmation that she was coming and that the security team had come to the school to check things out. My understanding, again, everything was communicated to us through Frederick Classical, was that they didn't want to make a big deal about this, wanted to keep it kind of low-key. So I sent an email to my Board of Education members letting them know it had been confirmed, and if they wanted to attend, we needed their bio and so on to forward to the advance team. And then on Sunday morning, I started hearing about there were rumors out there on social media, and people were saying they were going to protest and they didn't want the secretary to come. By Sunday evening, the principal of Frederick Classical had reached out to the group from Reading is Fundamental and said, you know, here's some things are starting to bubble up here. It could be a distraction, could be a lot more going on than we had anticipated. And they mutually agreed to cancel the visit. And then I don't know if it was the principal or the folks, I think it was the folks from Reading is Fundamental who reached out to Secretary DeVos and said, we're going to cancel the event. And so, again, the school was contacted. The contact never came through the public school system. There wasn't an invitation extended. There was a request to come. And I'm not even really sure that came from the secretary as much as that Reading is Fundamental group. And so I know that there was a parent meeting at Frederick Classical because some parents were upset that she wasn't able to come. Other parents were upset that she was coming at all. So that polarization and, you know, trying to bridge that gap. Someone has, you know, said to me, well, would you allow her to come? Of course, she's the Secretary of Education. You know, we respect that title. Certainly. We would welcome that person. So, but most of the time, those folks reach out to you and ask.
Or you, the superintendent, I would think would be the first
contact. Most of the time it comes through the school system. Now, what some people have said is in a lot of states, charter schools are independent. And so when they saw it was a charter school,
they may have thought,
well, we just go to the school. So, you know, it's...
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
We're coming back. For Superintendent of Putnam County Public Schools, it's hard for me to say, is with us and accepting phone calls at 301-694-9363. 301-694-9363. We go to Michael. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's another beautiful day.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Bees are blooming. Beautiful back here again. Summer's coming.
Amen. Just keep telling me that, please.
You know, listening to all the talk on the Democratic Party, you know, ABC News and the Democratic Party, NBC News, and the Democratic Party, all these broadcasting channels that work basically for the Democratic Party, it gets kind of sickening after a while. Listen to all the liberal, you know, you think everybody thinks like they do just because they're talking on the news about it, which is a bunch of crap, and we all know that. So here's my complaint of the day. The New York Yankees. Whenever I hear Yankees, I think of the Civil War and people getting killed. If that was the New York Rebels, would that still have that name?
No.
They should get rid of that New York Yankees name. I'm sick and tired of listening to it. It makes me think of murder and war every time I hear Yankees. So why don't they get rid of that name? It's sickening to hear it all the time.
All right, well, ponder that after five. Do you have anything for the superintendent?
No, but I'm sorry I went off. So I just want to throw that in there for you guys, and I'm sorry I went off.
Don't you dare. That's fine.
That's all right.
Superintendent, the Yankees. Now, they're a ball team up in New York. What are you going to do about this?
Fortunately, none of our schools are called the Yankees. So.
Yes, which takes us to that point, though. That was because he just stirred my mind, I thought. Do we have any offensive... I guess everything's offensive, but are there any movements underway to change names of any of our schools' mascots anymore? Or is that pretty much
not that I am aware
down?
Of? No,
I don't know of any names. I know South Hagerstown are the Rebels, I think, or North Hagerstown Rebels.
But
I don't.
That's not Frederick County.
No, yeah. I know, and I'm saying I'm just Frank. I was just making the point.
Right.
You all right?
Yeah.
301-694-9363. All right, Frank. Let's go to modern times. Days are up. This budget, I know this is something you love to talk about. It's just like your whole day. Requests versus actual numbers coming from the county. Are you able to make do? Well, you'll have to.
We were actually very excited with the county executive's budget because we know what a tough year they had and a lot of uncertainty throughout mm-hmm. the legislative session and things like that. So to get 7.2 above maintenance of effort was very exciting to us. We still have a gap to close between what we asked for, what we now believe we'll get, and I'll actually be going over to the county council this evening to offer testimony for their public hearing on the budget to ask them to please uphold what she gave us. So there are some things we're going to have to cut that we had put in the budget. But again, it was actually more than we thought we were going to get. So we were very grateful.
So $12.2 million is more than you expected. That would be new funding.
The $7.2 right. million above maintenance of effort was more than we had hoped for.
Which takes us, which simply means to those of you who are following this, is the maintenance of effort is a fixed number which requires pretty much state or gubernatorial, or not gubernatorial, but government change to drop it or, you know, take it back. So it's a number that's fixed from that point forward in all likelihood.
Local government, whatever you have paid per student in the previous year, you pay in the current year.
And the coming years, from beyond that.
Mm-hmm. And we're in the third year of a four-year plan to increase the teacher pay scale.
It's a transition to a new pay scale for teachers. It's also a transition to a new pay scale for our support employees and our administrators. So all of the groups are included in that. And these pay scales, our teacher pay scale and our support employee pay scale, were really important for us because our entry-level positions were so low and were not competitive. With our administrators, again, we're not as competitive with surrounding jurisdictions. So these restructured scales are really important to us. They are going to help us. They are more sustainable than the old scale that we're trying to move from. And so that was a big priority for our board. Again, our request to the county executive was almost $18 million mm-hmm. above maintenance of effort. And so that's why I said, even though she gave us 7.2, we know there are things we are obviously going to have to cut and work on. But with the way things were looking early on, we were thinking if we got $2 or $3 million above maintenance of effort, we were going to be lucky. So again, we feel very fortunate with this budget. There are a lot of pieces that still have to fall into place. We work with our associations on our insurance council. And so that may be a place where we can see some savings. There were several things that board members put in at the end of the budget. There are pieces in there that we might be able to look at, some of our typical expenses. And as we go through the year, we can continue to look at salary savings and things like that.
On the question, well, the numbers that would make sense to me, what is the starting salary of a Freddie County school teacher? Because that's the number that's always thrown.
Now, it's a little over $40,000.
Okay. And it will jump then to, if all this goes through,
I believe by the time we get to the fourth year of the scale, it should be at 43. But don't quote me on that because mm-hmm. I don't have all those numbers
memorized.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to throw that at you, but that's the numbers people understand. So when we say we're starting a teacher at 40,000, that's a fact, and then it'll eventually be 43,000.
Right, and when we first looked at our pay scale, our starting teacher salary when I came to Frederick County was 22 out of 24. We had dropped to the mm-hmm. lowest in the state. So over the last 2 years, we've been able to move up to like number 19. Mm-hmm. So as we finish the transition, that should put us more toward the middle of the pack, which is important because, as you know, when a young kid is coming out of college, that salary
is important,
and it's not like it's a big, yeah. large salary anyway. So every couple of thousand can make a huge difference.
What I've always heard from my teachers is that if you can stay 5 years, you'll be well rewarded. So it seems that they say 5 years in the system, then your salary
Well, when we looked at the old pay scale, what we saw is that we actually had not as steep of a slope early in a teacher's career, but later.
Mm-hmm.
So teachers who were hanging in there till 20, 25, 30, that's when we really had a steep slope in terms of pay increases.
Mm-hmm.
And where we started to lose a lot of people were in year 6 to 8.
Okay.
Because we weren't moving up much. For those years when we have maintenance of effort, we had a lot of people bunching. So I'm in year 6, we didn't get a pay raise. Now I move into year 7, and the person who was in year 6 is making the same as me. And so we have these clumps of teachers
sure.
who weren't moving at all. And so when this scale was designed, we wanted to have it be steeper at the beginning
yes.
and then level off when sure. you're making more and you're a little more established and settled in your career. The other piece is this has 5 lanes. Our previous scale only had 3. So a lot more opportunities for teachers to drive their own growth
mm-hmm.
By getting credits, taking courses, but also eventually we want to use those lanes for some teacher leadership positions so that folks can stay in the classroom and still have a leadership role. That would be a promotion for them, but many times now they feel like the only way I can get a promotion is by leaving the classroom.
The one question is these salaries are based upon 10 months, not 12.
That's correct.
Will the doc please share with us what the hourly compensation of a first-year teacher based on hours actually required to work for the year? I really appreciate Dr. Terry's ability to stay on talking point on a pay scale restructuring and refuse to refer to it what is a FCTA pay raise. Will the doc please share with us what the hourly compensation of a first-year teacher would be?
I would have to, I don't
to
know. I would have to calculate it out.
It's probably around $18 an hour. If my math is good in my head. Yeah, between $17 and $18 an hour for an 8-hour day. And teachers work 8-hour days.
Well, again.
Don't change it. I just did this calculation.
Well, they work more than the 180 days.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
They work, I believe it's 190, maybe 192. And then technically, they have a 7-hour day, but anybody who knows or lives with a teacher mm-hmm. knows that that's not the day that they work.
Right.
So, but again, I can't answer it off the top of my head.
But
I
roughly,
have to do the calculation.
Roughly, Texter, you can trust me there, with about 17, 18 bucks an hour. In my humble opinion, of which I'm unanimous. Say something, Frank.
One of the major bills, considered to be major bills, but just passed by the Maryland General Assembly that just wrapped up, was a school safety bill. What implications does this have for you in Frederick County Public Schools?
Well, one of the things that we have often said we feel very fortunate in Frederick County is that we have a great relationship with our law enforcement partners. And so part of this legislation is calling for a school resource officer in every high school.
Right.
We already have that. There's a particular type of training that they want school resource officers to go through. And I'm pretty sure that the training that our folks have gone through would satisfy that requirement as well.
So there's a resource officer in every school at every level, elementary,
no.
middle,
no.
and high?
No, no. Every close. High school.
High school, okay.
But
every high school.
But sometimes, sadly, sometimes the high school resource officer has to go because they get middle and elementary schools in their domain. So they, I think it's Urbana, there's several of them that the one resource officer has to cover 2 or 3 schools.
The resource officer supports the entire feeder. And so if there were an incident at an elementary or middle mm-hmm. school, that person would go. But they are primarily stationed at our
right.
high schools. So that was some of the legislation. There was a lot of legislation about training staff.
Yes.
And a lot of money that will come with that. And again, that is something that we do, but it is always great to have more time to take it more in depth and do more work with teachers. So I feel that will be a benefit to us. They want you to have a dedicated security coordinator. We already have that in our school system. They also want to have a dedicated mental health coordinator. That isn't something that we currently have. But again, I think we all can recognize there is a need for that. And there was some money also put in for capital improvements to help with projects that
like
school systems
and self-closing doors
would be working on to enhance safety in a building.
What about the thing we haven't spoken to, maybe I did dance around it, arming teachers? When you say it like that, it has a horrible connotation because nobody wants to arm teachers. But if there are qualified individuals in the system, they're saying prior military, prior police, and things like that, and if they would be trained, and would that bother you? Where they would not be guns locked in the school somewhere, but they would, you know, they would have, they would carry, they would not, they would be concealed. You have to have different, you have to have all kinds of answers for this. What would you think?
My concern about having any gun introduced into the school environment is the security of that gun. Mm-hmm. And even though a teacher may have been trained, you know, are we now putting a weapon there that students may not have had access to before that becomes available for them?
Right.
I also know, and again, this is speaking for myself, I would find it very hard to be asked to do that.
But I mean,
and again, I haven't been trained.
No, but suppose someone.
So.
But and again, I didn't want you to have to carry. You know, but I'm saying if it would be on a volunteer basis. And, you know, it's not going to be given, I don't want to say willy-nilly, but it's not going to be given out to, but to me, as a parent, not as a law person, I would like it, only that something happens in so fast in those first couple of minutes that by the time police get there, and they're one, you have one resource officer, but God forbid something happens at the middle school, it's going to be a time to get there, whereas if there was one teacher even, who was a retired cop or retired military person who was, you know, trained and licensed and yada, 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 I would feel much better. But I can see your concerns also because there's a gun in the school.
And again, you know, some people have suggested that by doing that, then you could put a sign up and it would deter shooters. But I think sometimes, you know, many of the folks who become school shooters, they go in there with an act of murder-suicide on their mind.
Oh, yeah, without question.
So I don't think if there was a sign up that said, you know, our teachers are armed, that's going to make them think, well, then I don't want to do this. So I don't know how much of a deterrent
unless,
it becomes.
Yeah, and unless that they are those just that don't want to do suicide, but they just want to, you know, because they're nuts. I mean, you know, that's the professional term for it. I just think that you cannot. It's a difficult situation because it's an emotional situation.
Absolutely.
But it is, unfortunately, it's, if you see schools in Israel, if you see schools in Lebanon, unfortunately, it's becoming, sadly, a way of life. And I hope it never gets to that, but I hope we never have another shooting. But if we do, I hope we take care of it. In my humble opinion, we're coming up on 5 o'clock. Frank, do you have anything else important?
Yeah, speaking of school safety, you have are going to be somewhere in about an hour, and the public's invited. What's that?
That's right. 6 o'clock this evening at Governor Thomas Johnson High School, we are going to be working in collaboration with the sheriff's office on talking to parents about avoid, deny, defend, and the types of training that we want to take our staff through for active assailant.